Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge Christian news program many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. My colleague, Lou Caverly, and I, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, want to thank some of you listeners for your recent wonderful help to keep us on air. And our biggest present need in the next 2 weeks is $200 we need to pay to Global Star Communications, our wonderful producers there with Todd and Don Waite. If you can help us, please send cash or money orders or checks only made out to Global Star Communications. We can't take personal checks. So any help that you can give us is greatly appreciated. You can send that help to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, you can send a little cash if you would like to. That is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, and the zip is 21609. You can hear our program, The Divided Kingdom, on WWCR.com, Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also on their shortwave, 4.840 megahertz, repeating at 8 a.m. Saturdays on 7.490 megahertz at 8 a.m. And there were some technical difficulties. We were told by one engineer they had had a lot of lightning. And our hearts and prayers are with the people who are under Hurricane Ida, aren't they, Lou?
Oh, yes. It's been great devastation down south.
Yes, we've heard a lot of outages and everything. The whole grid, I think, practically went down in New Orleans. Isn't that what you heard?
That's what I heard, yes.
And so now also you can hear our program at Liberty Works Radio Network. That's LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m. repeating at 11 p.m. And our newest venue is kstartalkradio.com. And you can hear us at kstartalkradio.com at 5 p.m. Saturdays, repeating on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. And the K-Star call-in number, that K-Star Talk Radio number, has changed. So if you want to get a pencil and get ready, and of course, your normal phone charges apply to this call-in to hear our program at 5 p.m. Saturdays or repeating 10:30 a.m. on Sundays. The phone number now is 1-631-359-9208. And again, that number is 1-631-359-9208. Eight. Lou, what's the word?
Elizabeth, the word is hope. The ignorance of the religious community due to the MSM brainwashing is astounding. Just yesterday, September 1st, in a local Maryland newspaper, a pastor who recently moved into the area said he will be writing newspaper columns of inspiration. A 30-year veteran of the pulpit, he said this, quote, "Everyone is concerned over the coronavirus, and should be. However, in my travels, I have heard very few people thanking God for the new vaccinations that are reducing its spread. Our God is a God of miracles, and I can assure you that he is very real, and miracles do happen every day." Unquote. Does this shepherd of Jesus' people not know anything at all about the aborted fetal cell lines, derivation of the COVID vaccines? As Elizabeth read this paragraph to me aloud, a huge sudden thunderburst erupted from heaven. Perhaps God thinks his 30-year warrior ought to know what God considers abomination. Wake up, people. Save some by telling those you know to visit our website, Listening Archives. Go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's again, DividedKingdomRadio.com.
Yes, Lou, even our July programs were very important. And our last program, in which I think we had a lightning strike, according to the engineer, and there was some interweaving of the late Brother Stair. We're sure that Satan would like to keep you from getting the information, but we did have cutting information, cutting-edge information, especially about the meeting of the CIA head with the Taliban head, and we think that's to renew the awful covert opium poppy fields to keep the drugs running into the cities with the poor black neighborhoods. So much evil is there. And, you know, in the last couple of weeks, we've been reporting greatly on the aborted babies, the living babies, how their organs were torn out at the University of Pittsburgh for profit. And then under Fauci, the scalps of these little babies were sewed onto the heads of rats. Just so horrific. But if we don't face things, at the last of the last program, I said we must stand, men and women of the cross, and that's what we are. So we do have hope. God is not ignoring the people, is he, Lou? Continue
Definitely
with that
not.
Story.
Despite the apathetic majority of pastors in America who have remained silent or even advocated their church flocks choose to take aborted fetal cell line-derived COVID vaccines.
And some inoculate them right in the sanctuary.
That's right. Take those vaccines into their bodies. A growing majority of good, decent, awake Americans are now aware of the vaccine genocide being perpetrated on the world. Eminent doctors like Dr. David Martin and Dr. Lee Merrick have substantiated the warning that this spike protein injection nightmare is part of a world depopulation plan. Now, the Japanese have rejected over 1 million Moderna vaccines because of the, quote, foreign substances, unquote, in them. No doubt, the toxic graphene oxide and the latest report is COVID vaccine protests are materializing in 60 cities around the nation.
More details are emerging all in unusual ways, Lou. We heard a little blurb, I guess, on Mike Adams' situation update. And unlike Mike, I'm sure if Pastor Butch is listening, he knows, I know, the beautiful area of West Virginia, Morgantown. I spent a year going to school there. So in this story, Mike talked about, he pronounced it differently, but it was the Monongahela County, I think.
Well, you know what, Elizabeth?
It?
I looked it up on the map.
Wasn't it?
The river is the Monongahela, but the county is the Monongahela County.
My goodness.
That's interesting.
We learn all the time, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We do. So at any rate, this happened on Route 79, not too far from Morgantown. There was a tractor trailer carrying vaccines and it overturned. Now, if this was such an innocuous thing, we did learn that hazmat appeared, but apparently that wasn't enough. We got the Department of Defense involved. And it was a biohazard, you see, hazmat. So this tells us something, too, doesn't it, Lou, about the benevolent effects of these vaccines?
Yes.
So more details now are emerging of longtime medical police state planning, early patents, and now with CDC admitting no COVID-2 virus isolate existing, the witch's brew of bioweaponry with everything from mouse leukemia viruses to blood clot facilitating spike proteins, HIV fragments, toxic graphene oxide, all of this is in this, what we called a witch's brew. And it's increasingly clear that there was never a noble therapeutic purpose for the J&J, Pfizer, and Moderna jabs. In fact, some of the earliest preparation and patents for this coming future Holocaust, this envisioned pandemic, occurred in 2001 and 2002, at the very time I was writing my books, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, and Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails. Tonight, we bring you from my book excerpts and 2021 updates that give us a great hope that by God's almighty power, the story of the Flight 93 Bible will inspire you and let you know that this is something that God has put there perhaps to strengthen us and keep us standing up for him. Now, this type of thing that you're going to hear about is very different from the fairy tale delusions believed by a number of sadly gullible Americans. For example, one such patriot just told us the other day, completely believing in the following. First, it was that John F. Kennedy Jr. never died. He wasn't killed, and he is Q. Now, we've heard about the QAnon movement and the white hats. They're supposed to be these wonderful insiders who don't go along with the deep state, and they're going to reinstitute Trump. All of this wonderful stuff is going to happen. And so John F. Kennedy Jr. supposedly is Q. And the person telling us about all this said that you could also hear from General Michael Flynn and Lynn Wood, but you couldn't contact them. That, first of all, seems a little odd, doesn't it, Lou?
Yes, it does.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that it just doesn't add up.
In other words, couldn't there be an Operation Mockingbird-type thing going on in which these are not truly messages from Flynn and from Lynn Wood?
Oh, yes, and it wouldn't be the first time something like that has been done.
No, these could very well be counterfeit patriots. Then the bigger bombshell to you was when this person said, and John F. Kennedy himself was alive. He had not died. What do you think about that? You're someone who's a JFK researcher, and Dr. Stan Monteith featured you one time on his program in November to tell what you knew.
Well, first of all, John F. Kennedy Sr. would be, I think, 103 years old if he were still living. That alone would discount that. But anyone that has read about that knows that there were scores of eyewitnesses in Dealey Plaza, Dallas, Texas, the day that Kennedy was shot. He was shot twice, and the second shot was a headshot that all the witnesses could see was fatal. He was taken to the hospital, but they couldn't save him. They knew if it had been, in fact, it says if there was anybody except the president, they wouldn't have even tried to save him. It was a massive, massive head wound.
And how many eyewitnesses would you estimate were there, Lou?
I would say at least 50.
Oh, that's quite a bit. So now the person also was thrilled to the depths of her soul because she said, right now, there are military tribunals going on in D.C. There are tents. And that already certain of the key sinister figures are gone. They have been taken out. And they included Bill and Hillary Clinton and the Pope. I think that I don't need to say another word, do I? But it's important that you get true information out that can be documented. Please tell others, pray about it, and tell others to visit DividedKingdomRadio.com. And now we go to the story of God's hope from Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked. And this is now titled 9/11. 20-year chronicles. You can go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. You can download this. You can tell others to read this essay. And there will be another part coming to it, to the website soon. Now, there's a picture that we refer to. You will see that at the website. That's an authentic picture of yours truly and her little brother. So here is the prologue, and it refers to that picture. Old America will not die. In our most cherished dreams, her beauties and allure are stronger than ever. The year in the photograph is probably 1946. Margaret's small boy was born close to D-Day, 1944. At the time of Pearl Harbor, her little girl was not yet a year old. The setting is the children's backyard in their small village 2 hours east of Pittsburgh. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great proponent of individualism, spoke in poetic terms of an oversoul, a transcendent reality found within all living nature, including man. It may well be that Western Pennsylvania inhabitants have a uniquely hardy variation on this inner mystical fiber honed by their struggles early in the Republic against tyranny's dangers. Even their audacious daring against Illuminati fomented events when they courageously mounted the Whiskey Rebellion. A quality of being at once uniquely generous, courteous, and yet as indomitable as their own Allegheny Mountains. Winters there are often harsh, jobs frequently scarce. Yet if since the time of Penn's Woods, more than two centuries ago, each resident marches to his or her own drumbeat, the accompanying glorious epiphany is, and always has been, The individual is all America's liberties tenaciously cherished here, freedom of speech, sanctity of individual property rights. In the unforgettable tractor scene, something of this unbowed pioneer passion to remain free is seen on the little boy's clenched face. It makes him look much older than two, burdened with more than the play act of, quote, driving. He is almost an auger, possessing a somber glimpse of the future. The jubilant five-year-old girl celebrates, unaware she will not always be able to remain in this snapshot idol. Both are oblivious to the meaning of the breathtaking Allegheny Mountains behind them, only noticing Aunt Edna's barn. She lived to be 103 in this beneficial setting. Delightedly, the children wield grown-up power. Two tiny reigning monarchs atop their father's tractor. It is an American original, just as their father himself was. Part Irish, one of six brothers, loving his land possibly even more than Gerald O'Hara, a man with reverence for freedom. Remarking in his late 70s upon the restrictive political changes his lifetime had witnessed, Charles Cuppett cried out, "If I were a young man again, I'd lead a tax revolt." This unusual man is a newlywed, almost lost his job, an occupation that prohibited picking up passengers. He was, quote, reported when a World War I veteran missing one leg asked to be transported. The children's father, of course, said yes. Late in the 1980s, this special picture would be enlarged and displayed at the children's parents' 50th anniversary. Something about it always made people exclaim, sigh, or simply smile. A recognition that it touched a universal chord, representing all who looked at it and the deepest things they cherished, perhaps in ways they could not fully fathom or voice. Indeed, there may be a deeply nostalgic, inherent longing all Americans have for that black and white world of the children who posed on the vehicle their father later called the Cub. For unimaginably, they are just 55 years and 40 air seconds away from the dissolution of their world, the crash of Flight 93, September 11, 2001. As when telephone connections malfunction for whatever obscure reasons and one hears a perfect echo of his own voice while he talks, their 90-year-old mother lifts the receiver and hears her son with quiet dignity convey the shocking vision intuited by his smaller self so long ago. His tiny intuition has materialized into gargantuan reality, the actuality of terrorism so brazen, so horrifically unprecedented on the American heartland that it is beyond understanding. "Our nation is in dire peril," her son tells his mother, exact words she, Margaret, will memorize, later thinking how succinct they were as she watches days of ever-bloating television coverage of the chaos. There is even what some claim to be the face of Satan himself, gloating in the smoke above Ground Zero. The anthrax deaths will come later. So ordinary, it seems to them, the children, at play in their tiny town. Yet to us, looking back from a distant vantage point in time, this scenic backdrop is extraordinary. One small farm, a neighbor's house, some variegated tree shapes scattered across mounding foothills, the unmistakable beginnings of the towering Alleghenies. A warning wind blows. These indefatigable mountains whisper, "This is the light of freedom."
Sentinels, Earth and Heaven. Part 1, Margaret's Hope. When she looked at the eloquent picture of her children on the Cub, sometimes Margaret longed to travel backward through time to the small, vivacious girl wearing ribbons and the homemade dress Margaret had sewn, and her precious baby boy. It was hard for her to imagine she had been alive so long and experienced so much. Margaret had been an eyewitness to the great global scourge, the flu epidemic of 1918. She could always enthrall her little boy and girl when she told of an incident she remembered from when she was only seven. Margaret's are a large farm sled on the runners being pulled by two white horses through deep snow. On it was one coffin for the flu victim mother and her newborn baby. The dead woman was a neighbor who had tailored clothes for Margaret and her brothers and sisters. Amazingly, Margaret can also remember when she was only 2 years old being lifted up to look down into the casket of Aunt Bertha. Her maternal aunt had hair that was longer than Bertha was. Now, a 2021 update. In this time of worldwide upheaval due to the COVID-19 pandemic, in which scientific experts, including Nobel Prize winner Luc Montagnier, Dr. Francis Boyle, and esteemed Indian researchers have labeled the virus a bioweapon with gain of function, more and more details have emerged about the Fauci NIAID Ralph Baric North Carolina research that was then transferred to Wuhan. Deaths continue to skyrocket along with thousands of adverse reactions to the, quote, emergency use authorized, unquote, COVID vaccines. Of great concern is the mRNA gene, quote, alteration, unquote, spike proteins causing blood clots and strokes, heart attacks, and in young men, myocarditis. The Bible proclaims there is nothing new under the sun. Little 7-year-old Margaret had no idea in 1918, as she watched her neighbor's corpse travel over the snow, that the first case of Spanish flu is said to have occurred at Fort Riley, Kansas. This information has been persistent among truth-telling circles for decades. Books and articles have been written about the Spanish flu, but we believe the Fort Riley origin has been largely suppressed. One day it may well be that evidence will completely come out to validate the following. 1. At Fort Riley, a vaccine experiment went wrong. One source says meningitis, another smallpox. 2. The name Spanish flu was given to it as a decoy from the truth, and because Spain stubbornly remained neutral against the great powers during World War I, it was scapegoated with that name.
When Margaret was 16, she jauntily drove a Model T Ford to high school. Her joyful years in college were spent studying English, French, Latin, and Greek. The subsequent Great Depression years included among their harsh exigencies the time she was jobless. Yet decades later, in 1958, Margaret had to face perhaps her biggest crisis. When her husband Charles was 48, he developed near-fatal myocarditis, an infection ravaging the heart muscle. At the time, her son was a high school student. Margaret's daughter had just begun college. Thankfully, Charles survived. Over the next decade, as he liked to say afterward, he, quote, rebuilt a new heart through gradually increased physical exercise and a new kind of faith that was a departure from stress. Early in his course of rehabilitation, one day without realizing the possible consequences, Charles began to run, chasing one of his cattle that had escaped over a fence. Suddenly, his heart began to fibrillate ominously. Charles was overwhelmed with a terrible fear of imminent mortality. The man had always been a worrier, with his brooding Irish side concomitant with his more gregarious, jovial nature. This fearful moment became an epiphany that would define the rest of Charles's life and his children's attitudes learned from him. He said how he thought to himself, "Wait a minute, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die." From that moment on in life, I decided that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And Charles, living by this worry-free creed, became a rock of wisdom and strength for many in the years ahead. Margaret had truly witnessed a lifetime of dramatic events in her 90 years. Some were joyous, some immense strains. And now, in the latest shock, September 11th, National Horrors, Margaret had found unusual hope. It was in October 2001 that she called her daughter about a unique article in the Johnstown, Pennsylvania, Tribune Democrat. During her telephone talk with her mother, Elizabeth could not bring herself to upset Margaret by divulging details of what had happened to her on the evening of October 17, 2001. Instead, she heard her voice summoning false cheerfulness. "Yes, send me a copy, Mother. I'd love to have a copy. In fact, I need it." Staring at the clipping, Elizabeth noted with shock its publication date, October 22, 2001. This was only 5 days after a troubling happening that she had experienced right here at her home in rural Maryland. If not innocuous or coincidental, if the incident was planned and orchestrated, it was, Margaret's daughter thought, a shocking act of apparent intimidation and harassment, a patriot's warning. To herself, the daughter thought, it may well be that our constitutional rights, including freedom of speech, are quickly disappearing in America. To the ordinary American, can it ever seem possible that some people in the world's political realm of power could have such depraved involvement? However, the Bible still holds an unshakable truth. Man's heart is desperately wicked. For some, warping may come from misguided religious ideals, but man always has the final choice whether to follow God or Lucifer. Is tyranny brought to all of us little people from the elite inevitable? In human terms, we seem to be overwhelmed by force. Yet one truth is greater than fear of tyranny or even tyranny itself. That surety is God's almighty power. God will never abandon men when their hearts are truly repentant and they sincerely honor him. Even should much suffering and trial by fire have to come to Christians and patriots in this land, God will finally have his way in his time and plan. The sovereign power of our universe will destroy all evil and the men responsible for it. 2. Flight 93, Artifact or Oracle. If the world is looking for a sign of hope in the turmoil that erupted on September 11th, it may have found it. Tom Lavin, Monday columnist, The Tribune Democrat, Johnstown, Pennsylvania, October 22, 2001. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see. Psalm 94, verses 3 to 7.
There is an unexplained phenomenon not greatly distant from Flight 93's final stop. This is a site called Gravity Hill, found on Bethel Hollow Road. Let me say that again. Bethel Hollow Road, 10 miles from Bedford, Pennsylvania. Here, the laws of physics seemingly do not apply. For, at Gravity Hill, a driver can put a car in neutral, take his foot off the brake, and watch the car roll uphill. Just as normal procedures of letting air crash victims' families listen to air traffic tapes were dramatically changed for Flight 93, unaccountably, a second Gravity Hill site, located 1 mile beyond the first, and spray-painted GH2, also defies gravity. Lots of cars ran uphill on September 11th at Shanksville. Contradictory rumors of a shoot-down by F-16 jet fighters and the FBI's later retraction. A Vietnamese veteran's report of hearing a missile.
And excuse me, Lou, that's a typo. That's a Vietnam veteran's report.
Oh, yes, that's correct. And Flight 93's debris spread over a surprisingly far-flung area. Discerning and documenting what happened at Shanksville seem as impossible for the average citizen as making sense of the Oklahoma City bombing, TWA Flight 800's air disaster, and the deaths at Waco. Yet sometimes optimistic hope culminates in victorious truth. The near-miraculous rescue of the Shanksville coal miners trapped in July 2002 kept the world, and especially the Flight 93 families, at rapt attention. Thankfully, prayers came to glorious fruition in finding the 9 survivors. Biblical wisdom states that nothing stays hidden under the sun. The momentous Johnstown Tribune Democrat headline, October 22, 2001, read, "Symbol of Faith, Bible Survives, Fiery Flight 93 Crash." Columnist Tom Lavis described how, resting a short distance from the 25-foot-deep crater, where the passengers died a fiery death, was a Bible. The Bible showed only traces of singe on its leather cover, its inside pages unharmed. This seemed all the more astonishing since no wings or tail section, as had been expected by eyewitnesses, were seen. But at the site were, as one witness told Lavis, no parts of the wreckage bigger than a dinner plate to be found, giving credence to the missile theory. Sam Willis, 25-year-old Somerset Area High School computer specialist and Pennsylvania National Guard member, was one of the first on the scene, joined by two sergeants from the Armory. The three of them arrived about 45 minutes after Flight 93 crashed. Sam said, quote, "The fumes of jet fuel burned my nostrils. There were only two things on the ground, a burning tire from the landing gear and the Bible, laying open on the ground with its pages as white as snow." Lavis said he first learned of the Bible's existence from the Reverend Joe Maurizio, director of pastoral care at Conemaugh Memorial Medical Center, and also a Roman Catholic priest. Maurizio said he was told by two reliable eyewitnesses that they stood over the Bible and were able to read the open pages. According to Tom Lavis, police and federal investigators were, quote, "reluctant to give any details about the Bible. My request to speak with officers who arrived immediately on the scene was discussed with the department's command staff in Harrisburg. The decision was made that, because the site was under the jurisdiction of the FBI, only the FBI could release information," unquote. Lavis went on to say that an FBI special agent in Pittsburgh stated that the FBI doesn't discuss criminal investigation evidence, particularly if personal effects could affect family survivors. Lavis's opinion was, quote, "I would imagine any family member would be comforted to know that a loved one's personal Bible still existed, even if it couldn't be returned until after the investigation is complete," unquote. Lavis described how touched by the discovery emergency personnel were. He felt sure that the state police and FBI members must be, too. And an update. By 2021, the viewer of the American scene can see that Lavis was wrong. No, the FBI would not have been touched or comforted by the Flight 93 Bible discovery and message. The sellout of the Department of Justice, DOJ, the Supreme Court, and the FBI is now almost complete in the planned takedown of America. Reports have even alleged FBI backing was an Antifa violent uprisings in cities. Overall, totalitarianism, Stalinist gulag-type control is ending the Constitution in America. Pastor Dale Henkel states in his newsletter for July 2021, post-January 6 treatment of prisoners illegally detained, reports of many others being beaten by D.C. Gitmo guards have been reported. Ryan Samuel from Pennsylvania is one that had his hands zip-tied behind his back before a guard, quote, "viciously and savagely," unquote, beat him. He's lost his sight on one eye. Rotten food, black water that's draining through the socks, solitary confinement, no bail hearings, trials next year, and beatings by the guards. What's next? And back to the quotations from the book. Lavis's words, "No one witnessing such a horrific crash could deny the effect of such an incredible find." The obvious question is that if people consider the Bible as a divine sign, what pages were revealed? According to Maurizio, quote, "It was open to the first book of Kings, chapter 12 through 14. I talked with two officials who saw the Bible and were staggered. In my own personal opinion, this is a miracle and a sign from God that while the things that we have can all be destroyed, the Word will never die, and God's love for us will never pass," unquote. Lavis commented that even for a skeptic, it would be hard to explain why the Bible was the sole item preserved from Flight 93. Sam Willis, the young computer specialist who called himself religious but not a regular churchgoer, said these profoundly hopeful words, quote, "I believe it is a sign that evil did not prevail and that there is a power stronger than anything on earth," unquote. Lavis went on to say that everyone he spoke to seemed to describe and, quote, unexplained peacefulness and calmness at the site, unquote. Found so mysteriously open and almost unscathed, what does the Flight 93 Bible mean? Is it an oracle portending a broken republic? In this unfathomable tragedy, is the Flight 93 Bible supposed to warn those left on Earth about impending evil? A totalitarianism so horrendous that if it is acquiesced to, it will allow no man on Earth to remain free.
And we might interrupt right after that question to also state that these verses from, is it 1 Kings?
Yes, it is.
That these verses indicated the splitting of the kingdom. And we do think that this is prophetic about America because those ancient Israelites taking their babies up in the groves, throwing them into Moloch's fires. What's the difference between the 60-plus million babies being killed at Planned Parenthood and all the other things? And so we do think that that's a word of warning. And many think that this was the beginning of God's judgment on America at 9/11, but we haven't had enough repentance. So now this is 2021 update. The words of this last sentence, and again, let's read that. A totalitarianism so horrendous that if it is acquiesced to, will allow no man on earth to remain free. The words of this last sentence, written 19 years ago, well describe the desperation of the people in New South Wales in draconian lockdown, unable to send their children to a school or go to a bank a street or two away just over the border in Queensland. A totalitarianism so horrendous, quote, that hundreds of thousands of French people are revolting, stampeding the streets against state-imposed vaccine passports, restaurants, gyms, grocery stores off-limits to the non-vaccinated. If people all over the globe do not resist and do it now, time will run out, and no one will escape the choice. Will you starve or take the mark of the beast? Are we living now in 2021 under God's judgment on and removal of blessings from once favored missionary country to the world, America? 1 Kings 12:14 again ominously tells of the splitting of the kingdom. Now we go into a little more detail here. Is this a parable for America now moving into chaos? When the ancient Israelites went up to the groves and threw their babies into the sacrificial fires of Baal or Moloch, God gradually withdrew his blessings. Finally, when the abominations reached the unspeakable point, God saw that the land vomited out the inhabitants. Here we are in 2021, with almost half of America inoculated or inculcated to by propaganda with aborted fetal cell line derived COVID vaccines. Not only have most ministers been silent about this affront to God, the Creator, but a number of them have held inoculation clinics in their churches. Death comes to the sanctuary could be the title of the homicidal heresy endorsed by these false shepherds. Leading religious figures, including Pope Francis and Gordon Robertson, son of Pat, have urged parishioners to get the COVID vaccinations. Even Dr. James Dobson mounted only a lukewarm offense against the COVID vaccine abortion origin. How long? How long before America repents and honors God's biblical commandments? Will it only be after millions upon millions eventually die of strokes and heart attacks over time caused by the vaccine spike proteins, manufacturing ADEs, antibody-dependent enhancements? COVID, the hidden cause of death. Time Magazine's July 5th and 12th issue of 2021 features really creepy, almost demonic-looking pictures and text about vaccine recipients in Kanawha County, West Virginia. One inoculation site pictured there on June 4th is Charleston Bible Center Church. And I spoke on air earlier about these pictures, that one of them showed this woman with a bulging eye that looked very much like the all-seeing eye, and she was being inoculated. And there was another, a mother standing by as her very handicapped son was being injected. God cannot do anything but feel and show his extreme anger about this unless we have repentance. And so we are talking now, too, about this long-term planning of evil, this obedience to Satan now that we see America's government black ops, you see, has gotten it now into motion where everybody willingly, the school children, though they don't need the masks, they're being masked up again. So we have an important bombshell here nearer the end of our program. Bombshell, and this is from Natural News, Tuesday, August 17th, by Lance D. Johnson. Bombshell, DARPA was secretly developing the mRNA vaccine years ago through Moderna, and they seek permanent control over your body and bloodline. Prior to the worldwide lockdowns in 2020, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, and the National Institutes of Health, NIH, were surreptitiously working on a new mRNA vaccine platform using a new biotech company called Moderna. Their strategic planning began in 2013 when DARPA funds were used by Moderna to invent methods for inducing a short-lived immune response through administration of mRNA vaccines. The inventor of the mRNA platform, Dr. Robert Malone, reveals that, quote, Moderna was essentially funded by DARPA. Millions of dollars in DARPA grants built the vaccine program through patents handed down to Moderna. And we've heard about some of those patents, Fauci and company, back as far as 2001, 2002. However, Moderna refuses to disclose these DARPA awards in the patent applications that they filed for the new vaccine technology. As this secretive DARPA project comes to light, it becomes apparent that nefarious forces within the U.S. government were planning to unleash this technology for years prior to a, quote, public health emergency. To achieve compliance, they only needed to exploit human psychology, suspend the rule of law, and threaten people's livelihoods to coerce the population to enter into this experiment and alter the natural physiology of their cells and biological functions. A director at the NIH, Dr. Anthony Fauci, made sure of that when he called for a nationwide lockdown in March of 2020. Carrying out the plan, Fauci is now calling for mandatory injections of this genocidal operating software.
Watchdog group Knowledge Ecology International points out that Moderna received $20 million in DARPA grants several years before the worldwide pandemic. The group asserts that these funds likely led to the development of this new vaccine technology. This long-standing operation includes 26 patents assigned to Moderna, Moderna TX, as well as 154 patent applications. A closer look at these patents shows that Moderna took part in DARPA's autonomous diagnostics to enable prevention and therapeutics, and the acronym is ADEPT program. This funding paved the way for Moderna to develop mRNA vaccine programs for chikungunya and Zika viruses and other upcoming respiratory pathogens. In response to the inquiry, DARPA says it is, quote, actively researching agency awards to Moderna to identify which patents and pending patents, if any at all, may be associated with DARPA's support, unquote. Instead of undergoing an independent audit of their planned mRNA spike protein operation, DARPA is allowed to investigate its own financial trail, which assuredly leads to secretive mRNA experiments being conducted by their operatives at Moderna. Regardless of the greater conspiracy to experiment on human populations, it is Moderna's legal obligation to disclose U.S. federal government support in patent applications under the Bayh-Dole Act and regulations issued by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. DARPA plainly admits they are the brainchild behind this global experiment, declaring on their website, quote, the first coronavirus vaccine to start human testing is from DARPA, investment in the Moderna company, unquote. Even though the mRNA inventions were conceived over the past 8 years, Moderna failed to disclose that DARPA was behind the projects all along and denied that federal funds were involved. Up until 2016, geneticist Daniel Wattendorf was the program manager at DARPA, where he initiated and led programs that deploy diagnostics, gene transfer drugs, engineered red blood cells, and mRNA vaccines. He was behind the ADEPT program in 2012, and he advanced the mRNA research through Pfizer and Moderna in 2013. After leading these mRNA vaccine programs, he took a job as the director of Innovate Technology Solutions at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, where he is tasked with creating diagnostic tests and biotechnology platforms for global health solutions.
And Lou, this connection now with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Here's another article. Tuesday, June 29th, Ethan Huff at Natural News. Patent document shows that DARPA built COVID with the help of Bill Gates and the World Health Organization. A patent has emerged to show that the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, was hatched nearly two years, prior to its public release, proving that it did not randomly appear in bats at a wet market. Great Britain's Serco Group approved a patent filing for the Chinese virus a full 17 months before it first appeared, and the entities listed as its creators are many of the usual suspects: DARPA, Bill and Melinda Gates, DEFRA, and the Wellcome Trust, and the European Commission. A filing with the United States Patent Office also lists the Purebright Institute as a funder of the Wuhan flu. Purebright, as we reported before the whole thing spiraled out of control, is directly funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates nonprofit. That patent, dated for approval November 20th, 2018, clearly states that the assignee of coronavirus is the Purebright Institute, Woking Purebright, Great Britain, funded by Wellcome Trust, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, EU. This patent was filed on January 23rd. There again is our death date, Lou.
Yes.
We've been noticing this.
Yep.
January 23rd, 2017, which actually means that the Wuhan coronavirus was drummed up almost 3 years prior to when the news started reporting on its spread in Wuhan and later throughout the rest of the world. The coronavirus patent was issued in just 17 months from initial filing. That's almost unheard of speed, with very little objection back from Serco, UK managed patent examiner Bal Q. Lee, reports State of the Nation. Purebright Professor Brian Charleston assigned to, quote, develop novel vaccines. Purebright employs a professor by the name of Brian Charleston, who is listed on the school's website as a Wellcome Trust scholar and postdoctoral fellow who has helped provide, quote, advice and expertise on the design of infectious disease challenge models for a wide range of pathogens in important agricultural species, end of quote. One of Charleston's specifically assigned tasks is to, quote, develop novel vaccines, which is interesting in light of all that has come out over the past year concerning the Wuhan flu, its lab origins, and the rush to market Operation Warp Speed vaccines that are being administered for it. I have to interject here, Lou. Remember what the military guy, maybe he was part of FEMA too, I'm not sure, but what he said, the key word about Operation Warp Speed was execute. That really seems pretty creepy now, doesn't it?
It does.
Back to the article, Charleston's connection to Wellcome is also suspect, seeing as how Burroughs, Wellcome & Company bankrolled and supplied medical kits full of experimental, quote, vaccines to the British Second Boer War, which led to the murder of more than 60,000 blacks and whites in the world's first modern-day concentration camp medical experiments. Wellcome and the other aforementioned groups, by the way, also have ties to the UK-US Pilgrim Society, which has controlled the press for centuries, steering the world towards a system of atheistic social fascism. Now, you listeners know that we're not shy about naming the culprits. We've talked about the Jesuits. Alex Jones was sued by Georgetown University, and he called it the CIA left-wing Jesuit group. So we bring out there's a Freemasonry connection, I'm sure. But here we have the Pilgrims, the UK-US Pilgrim Society. So this is pretty interesting. These secret societies are always playing a role. Back to the article. Bill Gates wanted a new coronavirus so he could make new vaccines. In the patent, it is further revealed that Gates and his cronies sought to create a new coronavirus for the purpose of developing new, quote, vaccines, which would, of course, generate billions of dollars in new profits while killing off millions of people. The patent page explains that the coronavirus itself, quote, may be used as a vaccine for treating and or preventing a disease such as infectious bronchitis in a subject. By referring to us all as his, quote, subjects, Gates made it clear in his patent that the Wuhan coronavirus would be the vehicle through which he and other uber-wealthy billionaires would deliver what is quickly shaping up to be one of the biggest destroyers of freedom and liberty that this world has ever seen. Peerbright has also been involved in patenting many other viruses, including African swine fever, which is also listed in patent documents as being a, quote, vaccine. Bill Gates quietly announced his intentions with Event 201. Many have since forgotten about it, but Gates also hosted Event 201 back in the fall of 2019, just a few months before the Chinese virus was launched. While this, quote, exercise was dubbed as a hypothetical situation involving a killer virus potentially being unleashed, it quickly went live once the Wuhan flu was set free from the lab. Gates knew all along, of course, that his exercise would go live because he planned it to happen that way years in advance. There's no denying this based on the available evidence, and yet few are reporting these vital truths at a time when it is needed most. As you may recall, Gates even presented a scenario at Event 201 for how, quote, public-private partnerships would be necessary during a global plandemic, quote, to diminish large-scale economic and societal consequences, end of quote. In recent years, the world has seen a growing number of epidemic events amounting to approximately 200 events annually, an announcement about the scheme explained. These events are increasing, and they are disruptive to health, economies, and society. In other words, the plandemic was planned just as we said it was. And do not forget that the private corporation known as the CDC, and remember, listeners, we interject there that the founder of the CDC went to Marquette University and was a Jesuit, and that was a Jesuit research university. My, these connections are all falling into place, aren't they, Lou?
Yes, very much.
So now we go back to that sentence. Do not forget that the private corporation known as the CDC, along with the FDA and many other three-letter agencies, are also complicit in these crimes against humanity. So more and more is coming out, and we have that hope of that Flight 93 Bible. We think that Satan's Luciferian group, the Deep State, it's called sometimes, the New World Order, that part that was in the FBI did not want this to get out. They did not want people to know that Almighty God is the ruler of this universe. And it doesn't matter what the kings of the earth do. The Bible says that he laughs at their plans. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I, as patriotic Americans, many of you as Christians, that we will not go through some fires. So we do want to give some warnings. This is from Mike Adams. Lou has some scenarios that could happen in the fall. Go with it, Lou.
All right. This comes from an article entitled...
We only have 5 minutes. Get
yes.
Right to the chase.
Analysis, FDA vaccine authorization accelerated. And he has this headed, prepare for the winter of chaos in America. These are some of the things he talks about that might come about. Shocking public awakening to the level of fraud, corruption, and criminality.
That's happening with these protests
yes.
In 60 cities. Peaceful, I'm sure. Go
yes.
Ahead.
So good to hear. Next, severe engineering shortages. I should say engineered shortages of food, ammunition, medical resources, consumer goods, etc.
And we tell some other Christian friends, but they can't believe. They're still in la-la land, not to the point that they think John F. Kennedy never was killed in Dealey Plaza, but they don't think they have to store any food. They think, I'll run to BJ's. Tomorrow I'll go to another grocery store. I'll go here. I'll go there when I need a little meal. It's not going to be that way. Lou, what's the next point?
The possibility of engineered telecommunications and power grid outages, at least regionally. Mass death and hospitalization among the vaccinated, with hospitals likely overrun by early 2022.
And we also have talked here. I've told you, listeners, that I look at the obituaries in our local Maryland paper. Today didn't seem to have too many, but for the last 3 to 4 days, it's interesting how many 50 to 70-year-old people passed away at home, passed away at home, passed away at home. Were these COVID-19 deaths undercover? Lou, are there any more points that Mike Adams has there? What was the date that he was this from his situation update?
This was from an article that was dated Monday, August 23rd.
And what was the title of that article?
The title was Analysis FDA Vaccine Authorization Accelerated to Unleash Medical Martial Law as Cover for Collapse of the Biden Regime.
Interesting title. Were there any more points there left?
Yes, we have a few more. Medical martial law enforcement of vaccines, vaccine passports, lockdowns, masks, and speech compliance.
And, of course, we think now with these protests beginning and the great mass of Americans awakening more, I think this may be forestalled. We saw that the CDC green camps got leaked even into our local Maryland paper. So they're under fire now. God is starting to shine the light on this nefarious kind of decades long. You heard from my book, Nothing New Under the Sun. Is there another point there, Lou?
Yes, this goes with what you were just saying, activation of FEMA or CDC COVID death camps, and the coordinated kidnapping and extermination of dissidents.
No.
And there are a few more we'll get to next time.
How many more?
Five.
I'll go quickly.
Okay, engineered financial crisis events, such as bank holidays, closing of ATMs, chaos inside the collapsing military, continued acceleration of the collapse of the purchasing power of the dollar, as the Biden regime, lawmakers, and the Fed all conspire to move toward printing $1 trillion a week. And chaos at the Oval Office as political predators line up to seize power as Biden is eventually removed from the White House.
And, you know, one of this disinformation bits was that we would have a new kind of a currency under QAnon. I think not. I think we'd better turn our eyes to Almighty God and ask Him to show us the real truth about things. Examine things. The Bible tells you to. We love all of you listeners, and we pray for you, and we thank you so much. We want to thank WWCR and Global Star Communications. Good night.